small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me today in the Rock Room to discuss her third in a trilogy of books called Everworld. Well, the new book is Everworld. Please welcome Rebecca Phelps. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Now, let's give a rundown. The first book was Downworld.
Yes.
Second book was
Yesterworld.
Yesterworld. And today we promoting Everworld.
Yes, the third and final book.
Third and final book.
Yeah.
And this wraps it up then.
This is it. Yeah.
This is it.
This is it. And this is on sale December 17th. So and you pre-sale
can get,
now.
And
yeah.
You can get it on your Kindle. You can also get a physical copy, go to Amazon.
Yep.
You can order the whole deal.
You can get the books anywhere. They are at barnesandnoble.com. They are at target.com. I think this book is on Penguin Random House, I think, is putting it out, so you can go there.
What gives you the most money? Does it matter where I buy it?
It doesn't matter where I get it. Honestly, I always really like it. If you're going to read an ebook, I like Kindle just because when you're done reading a book on Kindle, you get that pop-up window like, hey, did you like it? Do you want to give it stars?
And then they can do that.
And then people do, because otherwise, if you ask someone to go to a different site to leave a review, they usually won't. But if it's right there in front of their face. So I'm always like, hey, if you're going to read an ebook, Kindle.
And as much fun as it is to hand someone a book that you've read for them to share, we don't want that for this book. We want everyone to buy it. We don't want anyone to read Everworld and then go, here's my copy. No, no, no. You buy another copy of that book.
I will say this. A lot of times, that word of mouth is what you're looking for. So if somebody loved the book and wants to give it to a friend, it makes me very, very, very happy.
And Everworld, it wraps it up. It's not, at the end, it's no question mark. No. There's nothing
it's done.
Sneaky.
Marina's journey is done with this book. And it has I won't give anything away, but I love the ending of this book. And it really ties everything up and gives them a beautiful ending.
And everyone dies, right? That's what happens?
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. Like Hamlet, you know, everyone dies and then that's it.
And then looking forward, 2025, what's the next project coming up for Rebecca Phelps?
Well, we are going to see. I just turned in a funny, witchy rom-com to my agent and I'm waiting for
About witches?
It is witchy. It's romantic. It's adult. It's not young adult.
It's not Disney.
No, it is a adult contemporary, funny, sexy take on witches.
All right. And you just turned that in. You say as much as you can say or as much as you don't want
to
say?
I mean, there's not much to say. My agent is reading it. And if things go well, that'll be my next book.
That'll be your next book. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was a script or
that
a book.
That is not a script. That one is a novel. That was, I think, my seventh novel that I've written.
That's insane.
I know.
Do you understand how difficult it is not only to write a book, but then to get it out there in the world?
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's honestly, I will say, I think I've said this before, but I was an actress when I was younger, and then I was a screenwriter for a decade, and then I was a novelist, and I think this is the hardest one. I don't know what I was thinking.
It's harder than raising children.
Pretty much, because I'm also trying to do that. And it's hard, yes. And you have to compartmentalize your day to the point where you're insane.
Are you scheduled, scheduled out? Like even to fit this in, it's on that you have to schedule it out.
Yes.
All right.
It's increments of time that are just in my mind. It's like that Google calendar. It's a 24/7 color-coded schedule broken up into 15-minute increments.
And then when does your a regular day for you, when does it end to where you can have Rebecca time?
Oh, gosh. It depends. Like when I finished this last novel and turned it into my agent, I was like, I'm not starting another one for at least a couple of months. I'm going to hang out with my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm going to drink wine. My daughter and I were like binging Gilmore Girls. I'm like, I'm going to finish Gilmore Girls. Nice. That's my goal. My son and I are binging The Great British Baking Show, which if you've never seen the show, you will become obsessed.
That's what everyone tells me.
And we were both like, oh, we're not going to like it. It won't be as good as Nailed It. And now we're obsessed.
Yeah, that's what. And people that I would not expect to be watching this show tell me that.
My 11-year-old son and I are like so into the show.
All right. See, I'm afraid to start because then I'm going to start binging it. And I'm already behind on some things.
Yes.
All right. And is it just you and your son? That's just
that's our time.
Mommy son time.
That's our bonding time, is like really deeply invested in who's going to win the Great British Baking Show.
And the promotion for Everworld, how long is that going to take? Are you going to be done with it by the holidays, or is it going to continue through the holidays?
This is really short. So for the previous books, it was months of going to festivals and going to Y'all Fest and Y'all West and Canada and like going on tour. Like, I never had a tour, but I went places and I did panels. This book is so much more low-key than that, which I'm kind of happy about, because the last thing I have time to do is travel right now. So it's just me. And I'm promoting it, and I'm putting it out there, and it's very simple, and it's out December 17th.
And because it's the third in a trilogy, no one's just going to – it's going to be – the people who read the other two books, that's your core audience for this. You want people to go back and start with Downworld and read Yesterworld and this one.
Absolutely.
But you're basically telling the people that read the first two, hey – Here's the final chapter.
It's been interesting because with the first book, you just want to tell people it exists. Like, there's a book, there's a book, there's a book. The second book, you're trying to get the people who read the first book to know that that exists.
Yes.
And now it's like, I'm on the third book and I'm screaming from the rooftops like, hey, everybody, there's a third one. So it is following up, like the first book was part of a book of the month club. So it's writing to them and saying, can you please tell everybody who read the first one that the sequels are out? And that's a big part of the promotion that I never thought of, was just letting people who read the first ones know that the sequels exist.
Yes.
And then hopefully trying to get some new readers. And I will say, you can read all of these books as standalone novels.
You can. Okay. Yes. That's good. That's good to know. I don't want to, because I don't want to not promote it correctly. So you can.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like, you know, Jack Reacher, where it's like you literally like don't have to read the others. They do pay each other off. So there's no question that by the time you get to the third, there will be references to things that happened earlier that you might be a little lost. But it is a standalone story in that it's a new adventure with, you know, new goals.
Have when Downworld came out, did you see that like in a place where you weren't expecting to see it, and it got you excited?
Oh gosh, I mean, there's nothing like the first time that you go into Barnes and Noble and your book is on the shelf.
There it is.
And it's funny because I knew it was going to be there. I knew it had distribution, and Macmillan put the first book out in America, and I knew it was going to be there. But you walk into the bookstore on the day that your book is on sale, and you're like, "It's not going to be here. It's not going to be here."
Right? Exactly.
It was a practical joke.
You're expecting the disappointment immediately.
Totally. And I walked in, and it was during COVID when the first book came out, so I like had the mask on, and Stefan, my husband, was following behind me with a camera, and I'm looking for it. And I mean, we got it on film, but when I finally saw it, I just, you know, burst into tears, because you just can't believe it's actually there.
It's like it's your life's work almost.
It's so much work.
Yeah.
And when I wrote Downworld, I didn't have a book deal. I didn't have an agent.
Yeah.
I just wrote it. I think everyone I know kind of did the same thing, where they just wrote a book and really hoped it would get out there somehow. And I got kind of lucky. It won an award. It got a pub deal. Led to a 3-book deal. But it could have gone the other way. You know,
right.
Just, you know that.
Yeah.
So just seeing it on the bookshelf was a big deal.
Yeah. Anything in the arts, you don't know if it's going to be accepted by...
You'd
people?
Never know. I don't know. The book I just gave to my agent, I'm like, I hope she likes it.
I mean, these Terrifier movies have been accepted worldwide, and they suck. They're awful. I can say it.
I know.
They're just, I
don't know the term. What are the Terrifier movies? I don't know that.
Oh my God. It's this character, Art the Clown, which is a very cool character. But the movies are just, it's just torture and gore, and the story doesn't make sense. And it's just.
I know. That's the hard thing, is because I, especially with screenwriting, like you know, you have scripts done and you have things done and you get them out to producers and agents and they're in the works and then they fall apart. And then you'll see something online that, you know, you'll see on a streamer, a movie that you're like, oh, that got made?
I know. Like crap does get made.
Huh, weird.
You know,
yeah.
And it's just as much hard work to make a crappy film as it is. And we're not talking films today. I'm just throwing that out there.
No, but I'm coming from the film world. I'm very aware when something gets made where you're like, I can't believe that got made.
I feel like a book, though, like, do crappy books get released? I mean,
yes. I won't name names, but trust me. And sometimes they have huge releases. And some of the best books I've ever read had very small releases where you can,
it's,
you know,
wild,
you
sort
of discover it. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I just, you know, if we knew how it worked, everyone would be successful.
I think to be an artist, you have to accept that it's often not a meritocracy, and it really comes down to a lot of luck and timing. It just does. And that's life.
It's true.
True.
So something new in the pipeline. That's cool.
Yes.
Always creating.
Always.
always doing something.
I always had a screenplay and it was in development this year, but I think that fell apart. It's a lot of it is getting things set up, watching them fall apart, mm-hmm. getting things set up. You know, I mean, last year I had a lot going on last year, and right now it's a lot of it fell apart and a lot of it is happening, and you have to keep making new stuff and hoping that this one hits.
Is it still fun for you though? Because that's I'm the fun guy. Like, I've been doing this show for 14 years. If I didn't have fun doing this, I wouldn't do this.
You wouldn't do it. No. I think any creative person will tell you that there are times where it's so satisfying and it's so great. And especially being a parent, being, you know, someone who's got three other jobs. Like, I'm busy.
Yeah.
So to be able to have that time for myself to write a story that really matters to me and that I think is important and that I'm proud of and that I did because I think it's good and I think it should be out there. That's a very satisfying feeling. But, you know, last year I wrote a whole other novel, gave it to my agent. She hated it. So that's a year of wasted work. That doesn't feel so good. That didn't feel so good. Well,
okay. Just because your agent hates it doesn't mean that everyone hates it.
Oh, my husband hated it too.
Oh, boy.
No, that was a tough book. But the new one is a comedy. And I got to say, like, I kind of got my mojo back with the comedy. All right. I was like, okay, you know what? This is actually fun. This is fun.
Okay, so the book that the agent and Stefan hated.
Yes.
I outed him with name.
Yes, you did.
Did anyone else read it?
No, everyone hated it. That's art.
All right.
I'd made the Downworld
trilogy.
Do you
still like it? Or are you now like, they were right?
There are parts that I like, and there are parts that I'm like, okay, I can see why that book didn't quite come together. And that's part of the problem with the novel, too, is it takes you a year to write it.
Yeah.
And as you're writing it, you kind of get this feeling in the pit of your stomach sometimes, like, I don't know if this is working.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really have it with Downworld because those books just came to me. And as I got more into the world of Downworld and into Yesterworld and Everworld, and it's a time travel book. So the character, you know, in the first book, she discovers the portals and she is still in high school and she falls in love with a boy. And then in the second book, she goes to Yesterworld and it's very Oppenheimer. It's like she goes back to when they were creating the atom bombs. The third book is the future. As I was writing that, I got so into it and I was having so much fun with the love stories. So much fun researching, so much fun learning about atom bombs, so much fun learning about alternate dimensions that I was like, this is a blast. And like with the new witchy book that my agent is reading, it was so much fun because I got to research witches. I didn't know much about it. And I was researching paganism and reading gorgeous books about paganism and the history of witchcraft and how it started and what happened in Salem. And I was like, this is a blast. And also it's just a fun, romantic, sexy book that was fun to write. The book I wrote last year was a drama and it was really hard to write. And I was like, if it's hard to write, then no one's going to want to read it. Because if you don't enjoy writing it, then who's going to enjoy reading it, you know?
Now, if you were in school and they gave you the assignment to study about witches, you might not want to do it. But when you're doing it for your creative self, you're like, this is awesome.
I had so much fun. So much fun researching this last book. And I was like, if I had this much fun creating these characters, writing this world, learning about witchcraft, finding ways to incorporate the witchcraft into the plot so that the plot is really moving forward, but using this as a device, it's going to be fun to read. If I had that much fun writing it, it's going to be fun to read.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. And let me ask you this. You probably write more and work harder now that you have kids and you have less time to do it than you did when you were just free and easy single.
Kind of, although I was always obsessed.
Oh, okay.
Acting, I was like up at 6 to work out before acting class, before rehearsing, before working one of my 3 jobs, before delivering pizzas, before getting back so I could work on the scene. I was obsessed.
Always 3 jobs with you. Every sentence, always three jobs.
My whole life. It's like, yeah. Now I consider being a full-time parent one of the jobs.
That's a job.
I mean, my kids are busy, so just driving them to stuff is one of the jobs. And then writing is one of the jobs. And then I've always had other day jobs.
Yeah.
Because spoiler alert, writing novels doesn't always pay the bills.
Well, also spoiler alert, we live in the most expensive city in the country, maybe. One of the two, at least.
For years, my day job, I create subtitles, for the deaf and for the hard of hearing. And that's been my day job for many, many years.
And that's a work from home position.
But that is a work from home. And I was.
So that's like a gift. That job is like a gift.
It's pretty good. You know, it's one of 3 jobs.
Yeah. It's still work. You still have to do it.
Yeah.
But you're at home. So that's
cool. But I think I've talked to especially a lot of parents who are novelists and who are trying to create art where it's like, you just need to get yourself sitting down and doing it or it won't happen.
No.
And I know for me, if I don't do it first thing in the morning, forget it. The day's over.
Yeah, I have many friends that are always talking about doing something.
Yep.
And my friends are now late 50s and my age. So it's like,
it goes fast.
Come on. What are you waiting for? Got to do it. So let's get to some music.
Let's do it.
Okay. So it was simple. I just said, just the book's Everworld. Yeah. I don't like to give up too much homework sometimes. So I just said, let's just pick some songs that we like that have the word world in the title.
And then I failed at doing that.
Well, the first one is that does not have the word. So you're going to have to explain that to the people.
Which is the first one?
The first one you gave me was by the band Prelude.
Oh, okay.
And the song is After the Gold One.
So I first published this book, I published it online first years ago, like 3 or 4 years ago. And
the original, Downworld.
Yeah, Downworld. Okay. And then as I was working through the sequels, I was putting on music that really helped sort of capture the vibe of the story.
Okay.
And this particular song, now a lot of artists have done this song, but
this is a Neil Young song.
This is a Neil Young song, and I love the song, but Prelude's version of this song, the first time I heard it, just killed me, because I was in the middle of writing Everworld, and it's exactly where she's at emotionally. It's what happens in the story. It's got a little bit of a post-apocalyptic, you know, we live in the dome aspect to it, but it's also about her mourning the loss of her innocence, her childhood, the love of her life who is missing, and the destruction of everything that she believed in and her innocence. And this song just killed me when I first heard it.
And how did you find this song? Because I never even heard of this band before. This song came out early 70s when I was like 10. So you weren't even born.
I listen to a lot of Spotify playlists that are just like a vibe, because I'm always looking for inspiration. And I'm like, just give me a vibe. And this song just popped up. And I was like, what am I listening to?
All right. The band is Prelude. And this is their version of Neil Young's After the Gold Rush.
I dreamed I saw the knights in armor come and saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming, and the archers split the tree.
There was a fanfare blowing to the sun that was floating on the breeze. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1917. I was lying in a burned-out basement with the full moon in my eyes. I was hoping for a replacement when the sun burst through the skies.
I don't want it to end.
I know.
I don't even want to fade it down. Wow, that was gorgeous.
Isn't that beautiful?
I've never heard that in my life.
Many of their voices. And I just, as soon as I heard it, I saw the trailer for the movie, for the book. It just, all the scenes of it started to pop into my head.
Everything comes together.
Love it when that happens.
So, and the song that you texted me about or emailed me about earlier, let's not say what it is.
Yeah.
The one that your husband suggested. Yeah. We're going to use that as the play out song for the episode.
Perfect.
All right.
Yeah.
Should I jump in with one? Yes. I will.
Why not?
This is the band Utopia, fronted by Todd Rundgren. And this is just a song that I love. It's called One World. And let's hear a little bit of it. Kind of a hippy dippy song when you get deeper into the lyrics.
I miss when lead male singers had that voice, you know?
Yeah, I know.
That like Springsteen-esque Todd Rundgren, like that kind of like, what were you doing right before this? Like, where were you, man?
I know.
What happened to you?
I know.
I miss that voice.
We could talk about how music has changed, but every form of art has changed. And I'm sure our parents said they don't like this. And now we can say that.
Oh, yeah.
What do the kids listen to music-wise?
Okay, well, my son listens to only like Japanese and Korean music.
Okay.
And
you don't know where, and where's that come from?
He just really loves it. And he's teaching himself Japanese, but he can't understand the lyrics. He just likes the music.
Okay.
And then I don't know what Luna's listening to except for Tchaikovsky. My daughter's a ballerina, and
it's like not just. And let's just be clear about this. She's not taking ballet at the Y on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for an hour. That's not what she's doing.
No, she's a ballerina.
She's a ballerina.
Yes.
Okay.
It's all ballet all the time.
Like the pictures you post, or we've seen. It just looks like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like the poise.
Yeah. And she's going to be embarrassed, but I'm going to say she just got the very good news that she's accepted to YGP finals, which mm-hmm. is a huge international final. Like it's a huge international competition, and she's invited to the finals in Tampa in spring. So wow. That's a huge, huge thing for her.
So you're going to go to Tampa also?
I sure am. Can't wait.
Does the whole family go or just mom?
It's going to be mom.
And what, how old is Luna?
14.
Is it okay that I said her name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
14. What's the physical toll on her body for this? Like she must be in such amazing shape.
She's in incredible shape. And all of her friends, you see them and they just like every muscle. So far she's great. She takes really good care of herself. She takes good care of her feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's all
you have
feet.
To. Yeah.
So there's a lot of hot and cold baths for the feet. There's a lot of massage for the feet. There's a lot of just resting the feet on off days. So it all comes down to the feet.
And is there a specific diet or does she just eat whatever she wants?
No, she's skin and bone. She eats whatever she wants.
Okay.
This child has ice cream every day of her life.
And where did the ballet gene come from? Did you dance?
I really didn't know. She kept breaking her leg when she was a baby.
Oh, wow.
She had weak bones, and I put her in ballet just to strengthen her legs when she was 3.
Well, it happened.
And I mean, I have a picture of her that first class when she was 3. She had her little tutu from, Target on, and her little sweater, and this look of determination in her face. And it was like, that was it. That was all she ever wanted to do.
And so this is what she would like to do professionally.
Yes.
It sounds like she's on the right path.
Yeah. It's weird because I was the same way about acting when mm-hmm. I was her age. Obsessed, everything. Mom, I have to take this class. Mom, I have to go to this audition. Mom, you have to drive me to this thing. Mom, I'm going to move to New York. I'm going to be an actress. Obsessed.
I know I'm going to be wrong about this, but I feel like dancing's a little bit different from acting.
It is.
Because like if she has the skills
yes.
and she's that good.
Yes.
Like,
the reason it doesn't scare me as much mm-hmm. is because the deep, dark secret of acting is that it isn't actually that hard. I know, I'm gonna get in trouble, but a lot of people can act. In fact, some of the best actors never really trained because sometimes when you train too much, it kills that natural instinct.
Yeah.
And you see these kids who show up on a show somewhere and you realize like they never really trained. They got discovered somewhere and they're really good.
Yeah.
Because they're so natural. Mm-hmm. Dance, ballet specifically, is not like that. If you don't train really hard for 15 years, you can't do it at that level.
You can't do it.
So that is something that sets it apart.
So and she's putting in the work already.
Yes. And, I mean, that said, there are a lot of little kids who can dance really well, too.
Yeah, yeah. there'll still be auditions and things in ballet, but I feel like
yes.
if you're good, you're good. Like acting, I feel like you have to, you know what I mean? Like, like ballet, everyone's doing the same dance.
Yes. With acting, there were so many things that were out of my control that there was nothing I could do about.
Right.
But with dance, especially when you're really good, that means something.
Yeah. And like when you go in for an audition, you're going to do it different from the person before you and the next and the next.
And but you ballet, don't know if that's going to be what they want to see or not. Yeah.
But with dance, this is the routine. You got to do it.
Yes.
Okay. You were the best at the routine. Let's move on.
Yeah.
And she loves it.
Loves it. I know.
I hope. I feel like she doesn't need a fallback.
No, I don't think she does, honestly. And I wouldn't say that for a lot of people, but for her, this is going to be her career. Yeah.
That's terrific.
I know. No, it is. It's great. And you have to let everyone find their path, you know?
And then, but when you're a parent, then you go back to sometimes and think like your parent, and you're like, but a doctor would be okay.
Luna was, I think my son maybe is more on that track, but Luna was never on that track.
All right. you want me to call the songs out? Do you remember what they were?
I don't remember.
Okay. You have the next song is just called World by Five for Fighting.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I liked the song. Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all you need.
You just need
to know. It doesn't have to be anything other than, this is one I like.
Yeah.
So here we go. This is from 2006, I think.
Believe it. What kind of world do you
I know this song.
Yeah.
History starts now. Should there be people or people?
I forget if we've discussed this before. Are your folks still with us?
Yes, they are.
They are. And are they supportive of your career choices?
Oh, gosh, yes, they are. And they've been really patient because, you know, it's hard having a kid who's an artist, you know? Mm-hmm. I think there's, over the years, I'm either calling them because it's all going very badly and it's very hard, or I'm calling them because, you know, hey, mom, I got a 3-book deal. I got a, you know, a TV deal. I got a film deal. And then you call a year later, like, okay, the film deal fell apart. Okay, the TV deal isn't happening right now.
But I also feel like maybe your parents are more savvy than my parents would be. But I feel like people, when you tell them, like, I got a book deal or I get this, some people think, oh, you're a millionaire now.
Yeah.
And that's...
I know. No, I mean, I think they knew. They were very happy when I got the book deal with them.
Yes.
Because I'd been working at it for so long.
Yeah.
But I think everyone...
And it's validation.
Yes. That unless you sell a million copies of these books,
yeah,
you probably still have a day job. But it was a huge validation.
Yeah.
And for me personally, after years of writing, to sell something was a big deal.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For
emotionally,
sure.
It was a big deal, yeah.
I just read Alex Van Halen's book, and he said that the band, after 5 albums, they still didn't have money.
Yeah.
He said he lived at home.
Yeah.
After 5 albums.
That's so hard.
And Eddie was married to Valerie, so he was fine because Valerie had the money because she had
TV
money.
Yeah.
So they really didn't have money until after Jump in the 1984. And that's crazy to me. It's crazy.
God, that's a long time to be
That's
broke.
A long time. But they said they didn't know because they'd be on the road and they'd be, everything's paid for when you're on the road. It was when you came back and you looked
there's no cash in your bank account.
And there's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then if they did get cash, they'd just buy a really nice car and then not even think about it.
Because no one sat them down and said, here's how the money works.
Right.
And that happened with the books too. No one explains to you how the money works at all.
No.
And you learn it the hard way. That's just how it works. I know.
It's, yeah. But I feel like any outside person who doesn't know anything about entertainment thinks that once you have a product, you're set.
Yeah, no.
Rebecca sold this book.
I know.
Set
and
for
I
life.
Still, to this day, I have people come up to me like, congratulations. Oh my gosh, you're a famous author. You're amazing.
I know. And you don't want to let them down. So you just kind of just say thank you.
Yeah, you're like, thank you so much.
Yeah,
and I am
you.
Very proud of this work.
Yeah.
And it is out there. I don't know if we could use the word famous.
Right. I know. It's difficult. Yeah, it's everyone's not Stephen King.
No. No, yeah. It's no. Everyone's.
Did you ever wonder how... You know, Stephen King once a year releases a book that's this thick.
Yes, he does.
Like this, you know, it's like 2 inches thick.
And my favorite thing about Stephen King too is he doesn't have a publicist anymore. He just goes online and says, I wrote another book. You can read it if you want to.
Yeah. Because he's that well off.
I know.
That maybe he's having even more fun now than ever because
he
doesn't have to worry about
that. Yeah.
But how much would he have to write every day to get...
You have to understand, too, when you're Stephen King, it's not like you have anything else to do.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to get to his other jobs.
I mean, I've read interviews, and that's right. And he just says it's like his favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
So he's said, I'm weird that way because it's my favorite thing to do.
Which is great. That's great.
Pilar is texting me. It's popping up on my screen. It just said, it means she sent me a picture. She just put floorboards and quarter round, which means... Some handyman has come into the new place and done some work
awesome.
Of some type.
I can't wait to see this new place. This is exciting.
Well, I've been, we painted the interior and she was like, do you want me to put samples on the wall and send them to you? She'll probably disagree with what I'm saying right now, but this is the truth. And I just said, you just pick.
Yeah.
Because we've lived together for 30 years.
Yes.
She would know a color that I wouldn't like or what, you know, so I just said, just pick. And then she's like, what about a new bedroom set? And she sent me like 2 versions. And I'm like, either one, whatever one you want. Because I don't really, she's there and doing all the stuff. So I feel like she should have
I know.
Full rein and just,
she's having fun.
She's having fun doing
it. It's so fun.
I wanted to have fun doing it instead of like struggling with, should it be this color green or that color green? So just have fun. And then I'll just show up in January and I'll go, look at this house that you made. So
nice.
My song, and I love this song. One of my favorite songs of all time, maybe, is by Cat Stevens and is Wild World.
Yeah, I almost picked that one because so I love
good.
It so much.
Just so good.
Everything to you. You say you wanna start something new, and it's breaking my heart you're leaving. Maybe I'm grieving, but if you wanna leave, take good care. Hope you have a lot of nice things to wear, but then a lot of nice things turn bad out there. Just upon a smile. Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world.
How long have you been in Los Angeles?
Oh, God. It's funny, because that song makes me think of when I got out here.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Because I was just listening to it a lot when I got out here. 1998, I came out here.
And I came here in 95.
Yeah.
So I've been here almost 30 years.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And are you originally from...
Chicago, a suburb of Chicago.
Okay, that's where I moved from. I lived in Oak Park.
Yeah. I was in Highland Park, a suburb. And then I went to college in Wisconsin, and then I came out here. Yeah.
And do you think about leaving Los Angeles? I love Los Angeles. The only reason, and I've already spilled, everyone, if you listen to the show regularly, I spilled all the beans on the most recent Kinks episode about why we're moving.
Yeah.
Like we haven't lost any love for Los Angeles. We haven't lost any love for our friends.
Yeah.
It was just something that was plopped in our lap and we're making the best of it.
I think everyone who lives in LA from time to time visits the conversation of, mm-hmm. do we need to leave at some point and where would we go?
Right.
So yes, we've absolutely had that conversation, partly because it's very, very expensive to live here. And it didn't used to be. I feel like since COVID, the inflation is noticeably bad.
Yes.
Really noticeably bad. And it's to the point where you can't do day-to-day things like they used to do.
Yeah,
like eat food.
Yeah. Going out for dinner is ridiculous because first of all, you get the bill and then you look at the bill and you go, this wasn't that good. It wasn't $140 good.
No.
It just wasn't.
And that used to be if you went to a nice restaurant.
Right.
Sure,
now it's anything.
Literally now it's hamburgers. And you're like, I can't spend $25 on a hamburger and I wouldn't want to.
No.
I know. So there's that. You know, my kids are 14 and almost 12.
And taking kids out of school is difficult.
I'm not going to do that to them.
Right.
Luna will frankly probably end up studying ballet full time somewhere at some point. And then my son... he's in a junior high right now and we're still trying to figure out high school.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to take them out of the middle of a situation.
Absolutely.
And also moving itself is expensive and where would you go? And where would we go?
I know. Yeah.
So
it's all that.
There's a little bit of, you know, Stefan and I have been saying for years, we wouldn't want to move away from here. We would want to move to something.
Right. Right.
And
yeah, you're not. Yeah, you're not escaping Los Angeles.
No,
you want to move to. That's a great way to put it. You want to move to.
I want to move to something.
Yeah.
And like you and Pilar are starting something new and exciting, which I think.
Yeah,
is
and she's
great.
So thrilled with.
That's wonderful.
Because she's always loved teaching, and this is just she gets to be like a mentor to the kids, and she's just she's really really loving everything about it. She sends me pictures all the time.
She keeps emailing me links to the high school next door because it's performing arts high school.
Oh yeah,
because
she wants you. She wants you guys to go.
I would.
But Stefan works in the industry. Your husband works in the industry.
He works in the film and TV industry.
So
he produces TV.
Right. Really. So doing that from another state might be difficult.
It's hard. I mean, he does work from home now, like everybody. Mm-hmm. But just being physically here means something.
It does.
And being able to go in, like when they're shooting something, he can go in for the day.
It does.
That means something.
And they're not going to fly you in from...
Not for one day. No.
Yeah. No, you would probably... That would be on his dime to do that. But...
And, you know, it's things change. I mean, when I had like a... You know, last year I had a film set up and a TV adaptation of the book set up And when it looked like that was going to happen, I was like, okay, well, I'm not leaving now. Everything's right. happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. It's a kind of a year to year, the conversation changes.
I told someone just, I think last week, you know, I've raised kids and, you know, been married and all this stuff, but this is the first year I feel like I'm adulting.
No.
Like I haven't felt like I've been adulting right like this year. It's
you were raising
wild.
Kids. You were busy. You were very busy.
Yeah, but that should be adulting when you're raising kids.
It's a kind of adulting. It's like adulting as it relates to the life of a child.
Right. Yeah.
I know. And we are looking ahead to like, okay, so when these kids do leave the house eventually, then what's our next adult phase?
Yeah.
And is it cheaper than this one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Well, that's like the house we're moving into, to the washer dryer are in the basement.
Yeah.
And we're having a thing with my parents right now where my mom's 87, my dad's 88, and we want them to get the washer and dryer on the first floor. And they're just pushing back on it so much. So when I visited Pilar in October and I finally saw the house in person, we were both like, let's get washer dryer hookups right now. So yes. We don't have to think about that in another...
That is
15 years.
Very grown-up thing
to
think about.
It's very adulting. I know. And it's one of those old basements anyway, you know, where it's like stone wall and like wood steps. I'm like, I don't want to get down there anyway. I'm not going down there. So that's what I mean when adulting. Yes. When you're like, you're looking forward to the point of where you can't get down these stairs.
It's so true. Yes.
Yeah.
In 15 years, if I can't walk downstairs, should I have the washer dryer up here? I know.
Okay, Duran Duran is next.
It is, yes.
This was like a comeback song for them.
Was it? No, I don't know enough about the trajectory of the career of Duran Duran. I just know I like this song.
Yeah, this was like a comeback and it was a little bit different sound. And I'm not going to look it up. I don't feel like it. But I know this was I'm going to go back in my memory banks and say this was a huge hit for them.
I think it was because I remember hearing it all the time.
It's still in the set list.
Yes.
And I think I just... saw something with Simon Le Bon where he said this is one of the songs that they're most proud of.
Oh, good. I love this song.
Yeah. Ordinary World. It's so not an ordinary world right now.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Because that's literally what the book is.
Yeah.
It is. It's like,
that's amazing.
I won't cry for yesterday. There's an ordinary world I need to find. Yeah.
Well, if this ever gets made into some type of a streaming show, we got to get the rights to this song.
If that happens, then I will do that.
You never know.
Well, the original adaptation deal is not happening, but you know.
Anything can happen. Someone can pick this up on a vacation. Some producer picks this up on vacation.
If you're listening, I think the rights are going to be available again in March. So there you have it.
Yeah, so let's scoop those up, people. When the music plays, I don't make eye contact with my guest. I look away because it's so weird if we just looked at each other while it's playing. Just looking at each other.
It's
okay. I can't do it.
I like looking at you and listening to the music.
No, I'm just looking down. Just looking down.
No, but I was listening to
I'm pretending like I'm doing producing stuff over here.
It's funny because you've heard that song a million times, but listen to it again. I'm like, oh yeah, that's literally what my book is about, is... letting go of the past, letting go of your idea of what life was going to be, and embracing what it actually is.
And listening with the headphones on too, it's more immersive.
Yeah, it really is.
And these headphones.
These are really good headphones.
They really are good headphones.
I know. I kind of want to get these.
You don't know this. Everyone else knows. So just ignore me for a second, listeners. These were free. I got these free from Bose.
Nice.
Because I work it. I work the free stuff constantly.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I just reach out. People are like, how'd you get those? I go, I just ask.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will take anything that's free.
I call it an ad trade out.
Yes.
I'll mention Bose for this many episodes. You send me this.
Well, these are the best Bose headphones.
Yes.
I've ever used in my whole life.
We don't need to promote them anymore. We are recording the Monday before Thanksgiving. What is happening with you for Thanksgiving? Do you cook the meal? Does Stefan cook the meal?
You know, we have a standing date to go to his parents' house on Saturday after. And that's been for 30 years. They've been going and having the Saturday after.
Okay. So that's always, when you celebrate.
It's in a weird place because we don't know what to do on Thursday now. Like, yeah, I'm just going to make a chicken. I'm just going to make a chicken for my family.
And the kids don't say like, hey, how come we're not having turkey dinner?
They know we're having it at Oma's house.
So they're used to this.
German. So it's Oma's house on Saturday. So my son likes to cook. So we're going to make a chicken together.
All right. And is Oma a good cook?
Well, she's 90 now, so she's probably not going to be cooking it herself anymore. Okay. She's probably just going to have stuff brought in.
But all right. Yeah. Well, that's fine too.
Yeah.
All right. So it's just a chill day. Sleep in, maybe.
Do we have to drive down there? Yeah.
I mean, on Thursday.
Oh, Thursday, yeah. We're going to hang out.
No school.
No, there's no
work for Stefan.
I don't work. I'm not writing a book right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to roast a chicken. That's my whole plan for the day.
Are you able to unplug or do you have to still look at your laptop and look at your phone that day?
I've been trying really hard not to look at the stuff.
It is hard.
I think we all are trying look at the stuff right now.
Yeah, it's so hard not to look.
It's because it's right there. Your phone is right there.
Yeah, I know.
I know. I am trying though. I'm trying to read other people's books.
Yeah.
Do crossword puzzles again. Yeah.
I finally started to read again this year because I have over 100 like rock bios and comedian bios. And I'm like, look, I collect these. And then people would go, oh, have you read all these? I'm like, no. Have you read any of them? Four. You know, it's just like that. So this year, 2024, I think I'm on my 10th book, which is pretty good for me.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
That's a lot of books.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I just got Stefan the Al Pacino autobiography.
Oh yeah. What's it called? Something with boy?
Sonny Boy.
Yeah. I want to get the Cher autobiography.
Oh, I want to read that too.
And it's called Part One.
Oh, good.
And it's like this thick. So
well, she had a lot of things to answer.
I know. So I'm holding that in case one of the kids or someone says, is there something that you want for Christmas? I would just go, yeah, it's, give me the Cher book.
I always joke, like I get Stefan biographies and autobiographies so that I can read them after.
Yeah, there you go. Does he read?
He reads nonfiction a lot. So if I get him a really good biography or something, he will absolutely read it. It's like every man, he can tell you everything about World War II.
I can't, but okay. That's good. That's good.
He really does though. He will listen to a podcast about World War II all day long.
So funny. I podcast, but I don't listen to podcasts. Like people are like, do you listen to a lot of podcasts? I'm like, no, because it's, I'm putting one out every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
I recorded one yesterday. I'm recording two today, one on Thursday, one tomorrow, and one on Thursday.
That is a lot.
I'm trying to get always ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know the move's coming up in January. So I want to just upload them all and then be able to, but I never take a breather because then it's like, oh, I want to record again. I want to record another. So I like to be ahead.
That's great.
I don't know why I had to tell you all that.
No, I get it.
We just heard Ordinary World. Let's rock a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it.
With Aerosmith.
Yes.
From their second album, Get Your Wings. And this song is called Woman of the World.
Okay.
Well, she's a woman of the world and God, she knows it. She turns my head every time she shows it. Yeah, nothing you can do, nothing you can say, no way you can try to change your way. She might be gone tomorrow, honey, say what you gotta say.
Thanksgiving through January 2nd, is it difficult to get motivated to do your artistic endeavors?
I think it's difficult for everybody.
Right, right. But you specifically.
Well, you know, we're very busy in December because we do the Nutcracker.
Okay.
So that, just rehearsing that and putting that show on is the first 2 weeks of December.
And the whole family gets involved in that sometimes.
Everyone but Stefan.
Okay. Has he been asked to?
I used to never ask him because I wanted him to be available to drive. Mm-hmm. Especially when the kids were younger.
And to take photos.
Well, and just honestly, when the kids were younger, they're always in different scenes. And so it was just, I needed him to be free to drive one kid to the theater and the other kid from the theater. Nowadays, they're older and they can just hang out. So he has no excuse now. He just doesn't want to do it, which is fine. And then we're going to Chicago. So honestly, we're very busy. You know what I did last year, though?
But I mean, does your brain just forget about artistic stuff for that 5 weeks or so?
I will say this. This particular, like, I just finished the Witchy novel. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to get it in to my agent.
Get it done,
by Halloween, which I think I turned it into her the day before Halloween. Perfect. And partly it was because it was witchy and that was the vibe.
Maybe she would be excited.
But also, I just know, like, with kids, between Halloween and then Thanksgiving and then making sure your kids aren't failing out of school because they forgot to do all their homework and their parents are almost due, and then doing the Nutcracker and then Christmas, I was like, I'm not going to get it done if I don't get it done now.
And how many performances of the Nutcracker are we talking?
There's one show for schools, mm-hmm. like visiting schools, and then there are three public performances, and I think we're sold out.
It's already?
Red Chair Productions in Glendale.
Amazing.
And I think we're sold out,
And that's a top-notch production.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Wow.
It really is.
And how many performances does Stefan have to go to?
He goes to one.
Okay. It is hard to go to all four.
Doesn't have to go to all four. He goes to one.
Yeah.
And then we make sure, you know, we have dinner after, so.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I had something else on the tip of my tongue. I forgot what it was.
That's okay.
Oh, well.
It is hard. It's hard in December. I think it's for everybody because you're busy. Mm-hmm. And there's family obligations and you're eating and drinking and it's very hard to get anything done.
That's true. That's true. And I like how you threw drinking in there.
Well, you know what I was going to say I did last year, and I don't really drink that much, but I did Dry January last year for the first time because I think I had that thing where the holidays finally ended. And I was like, I want January to be productive. Like, I've been sitting around eating and drinking for a month. And
yeah.
I'm going to hit the ground running here. So I did Dry January. I did hiking, like I did like my yoga, like I was drinking water. The healthiest I've ever been in my life.
I feel like Dry January is only a problem for someone if they really have a drinking problem.
I know. It wasn't that hard for me, but right. I do like my wine. But I was like, you know what? I really want to get a lot done.
Yeah. But off of mic, we are talking about being in water alone. And I was telling Rebecca that I don't swim when no one's at the house. I just wouldn't get in the pool. I love a cocktail.
Yeah.
I don't have a cocktail when I'm alone.
Yeah.
I feel like if my friend comes over and watches a movie with me, I go, you know what? I'm going to have a cocktail.
I know.
But by myself, I just feel, and sometimes when I come home from work, I'm at work and I'm like, you know, when I go home tonight, I'm going to have a cocktail. And then I get here and I don't.
You know, my problem is I'm never alone.
So you have to have a cocktail.
I work from home. Stefan works from home. Luna's homeschooling.
So you can have a cocktail every day then.
I mean, it's to the point where I'm like every night, I'm like, well, there's people around. It's social hour. Yeah. I know. So you do have to kind of be like, all right, I don't actually need to have a glass of wine. It is a Tuesday.
But you guys have that nice sitting area too, where the turntable and everything is. Like,
I know.
That just feels like where you would sit with a book and wine.
That's my nook. I sit there with my book and my crossword and my glass of wine and we listen to a record. And
yeah, it's so nice.
We are very 70s in our house. Like, we at night, we have a fireplace. We light a fire. We listen to some like Carole King records.
Yeah.
And we sit around and drink wine and talk to each other. Yeah. Like we're like...
You're like Joni Mitchell and Graham Nash.
A little bit. We are a little bit. To the point where it's a little weird. Because we live in this old house too. So it feels like that's the vibe.
And it's up on the hill.
Yeah. And it was the house from the 20s, but it has a very 70s vibe to it. So it's all good.
It's a great place.
Yeah.
You have a great backyard area.
We do.
It's all great.
I know.
Now this next song does not have the word world in it.
What song is it?
April Come She Will, which is, I love this song by Simon and Garfunkel.
So at the
beginning
of this book, she is kind of waiting for her life to begin. She's in college, she's at MIT, but her boyfriend is missing and she's waiting for her real life to start. And this song to me is always that song.
And the first time I ever heard the song was when Simon and Garfunkel in 1981 did the concert in the park.
Yep.
Because I wasn't familiar with all their studio albums. I just knew the Greatest Hits album. And then I watched the live concert. But then
had you seen The Graduate?
one of my favorite movies now.
Yes, but you
I was just talking to someone the other day about this. They're like, name your favorite movies. And I named, you know.
The Graduate.
The Graduate was one. But no, I had not seen The Graduate at that point.
Because the song is used beautifully in that movie.
Yes, it definitely is. And it's great.
When streams are ripe and swelled with rain, may she will stay, resting in my arms again. Restless walk, she'll prowl the night.
Art Garfunkel killing it on vocals. Yeah.
The prettiest voice ever, Art Garfunkel.
I when people ask me about autograph seeking or hunting, whatever you want to say, that was my best celebrity interaction as a fan, not outside of this show, but as a fan meeting an artist. He performed a solo show at the Wiltern Theater.
Okay.
My friend Mike and I went. We got free tickets from the his promoter or his management. We were in the fifth row. It was amazing. As I'm waiting outside for him, there's a kind of short, a little bit heavy, you know, heavy set gentleman standing with 10 feet from us.
Yeah.
We didn't even pay any attention to this guy.
Yeah.
And then a car comes to pick him up and he takes his glasses off. This was weird because it's at night, but he takes his glasses off and he put sunglasses on. And as soon as he put the sunglasses on, my friend goes, "That's Jack Nicholson."
No.
And I was like, we could have talked to him. He was right there.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because him and Art are, because they were in
Carnal Knowledge.
Yes. And I was like, oh my fucking God.
That's so, and he was standing right there.
Standing right there. No one bothered
him. My favorite thing about LA is like, well, it happened more in New York, but every now and then in LA, someone will walk by and you're like, oh, that was Charlize Theron. She just
This was just last week. I'm driving down Ventura Boulevard on my way to work and a black car passes me. And as it passes, I look over and I was like, that's Paul Thomas Anderson driving that car.
Wow.
So then we have a stoplight on Ventura Boulevard. And I was like, he's married to Maya Rudolph.
Yes,
so I'm like, I wonder if Maya Rudolph's in the car. And so as I pull, I'm trying not to be, you know, I don't want to, but I see all the kids are in the back seat. And then I'm like, yeah, she's in the passenger. So it's some Sunday outing for the Rudolph Thomas clan.
Fun. You know, that was my first job in LA. I was an extra in Boogie Nights. I was 18.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Did you see some stuff?
Oh yeah. That was crazy. Yeah. That was a fun set.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. And he was a kid. He was, I think he was 25.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't have to revisit that movie, though.
No, neither do I.
I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Are you clothed in the movie?
Mostly.
All right, boy. All right. I don't know what to say. But I definitely was. I'm not making eye contact when we talk.
No, I was. But it was one of the party scenes, you know.
All right.
It was one of the pool scenes.
Oh, that must have been crazy.
It was fun. In fact, I think they shot it here. They're like within 5 minutes of this house is where they shot it.
Okay. That's a whole other podcast. So Art Garfunkel. So my friend, he's good for about 45 minutes. And then he's like, okay, I'm not waiting any longer. And okay. But I waited like 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I was the last person waiting. And I'm just standing there. I have a solo album and a Simon and Garfunkel album. And then I see him come out of the venue and he's getting in he's heading towards his town car, whatever it is.
Yeah.
SUV. So I just start walking towards him and I have them out. So if he looks, he's going to be able to see me coming.
Yes.
And he sees me and he says, did you wait all this time? And I said, yes. And he goes, get over here. And then we talked for 20 minutes and I had to break away. Because it kept going.
That's nice.
I had to break away. But it was really great.
That's great.
Yeah. And with that, I'm going to play a song called What a Wonderful World from Art Garfunkel's Watermark album featuring James Taylor.
Yes.
And Paul Simon.
Ugh.
Some good harmonies on this. Here it comes.
Don't Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about science book. Don't know much about the French I took.
I do love seeing celebrities, though, in Los Angeles. Like, if we go hiking on Fryman or something, I see someone all the time. They can wear, they could have a hat on and big glasses. And Pilar and I, and we'll walk by and I'll say to Pilar, that's Terry Hatcher. She's like, how do you know that? I go, trust me, it's 100% it's Terry Hatcher. And it's always like a degrees of celebrity, you know.
And they're never the height you think they're going to be.
Never, never. I was, I just flew from New York back here and I'm getting ready to scan my ticket to get on the plane, and an airline employee cuts in front of me and says, I'm sorry, I'm assisting a passenger. I go, oh yeah. So I thought it was going to be someone in a wheelchair or something. And it's Martin Short. So he scans. So now I'm right behind him on the, what do you call the thing to get into the plane?
The tarmac.
The tube.
The tube thingy. Yeah.
But I'm right behind him. And he's the same height as me. And I've met Bruce Springsteen, and I'm about an inch and a half taller than Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen is not a tall man.
No, so no, but not. You would think,
Bruce
would be a gigantic man, and Martin would be a super tiny guy. No,
same height.
Yeah, same height.
Crazy.
At the Trader Joe's I work at, we get celebrities in there, varying degrees, like Hector Elizondo. Or it'll be Natasha Henstridge from the Species film. Fabio. Comes in, and Fabio wants to be recognized. And none of the kids know who Fabio is.
No, they do not.
And he always looks so, like, almost angry that he's not recognized. Because he looks, he's like got Fabio. The hair, he's got the shirt open, the giant chest. He still looks like Fabio.
Yeah.
And he's angry.
No kid is going to know who Fabio is.
No one knows who Fabio is.
I know who Fabio is.
And then Zendaya's mom shops there.
Oh, now how do you even recognize her, though? I would never know what she looked like.
One day someone said, that's Zendaya's mom. And I go, no, it isn't. Because she doesn't look like Zendaya.
No, well, she's white.
Yeah.
She doesn't look at anything like
her. She's a giant. She's so tall. And so I got on Google, Zendaya and her mom. I'm like, that's her. And she was in last week and wearing a Zendaya t-shirt.
Okay.
Zendaya was on the shirt.
Okay. So she wanted everyone to know.
I guess she does. I mean.
Yeah.
But what do you say? Hey, you're Zendaya's mom. Congratulations for giving birth. I mean, what do you say?
It's a weird thing.
Dwayne Johnson's mom comes in.
Now, again, how would you know that?
Because she will come up to you and she'll ask you where things are. And she'll say, this is what she says. I think you know my son. And I'll be like, and people will go like, oh, no, I don't think I do.
Does he work here?
And then, and then she'll go, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. She'll just tell you.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And you'll go, oh, yeah, of course.
That's adorable.
That is kind of wild.
Actually really cute.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's always varying degrees. Nicholas Totoro from NYPD Blue. He's always in.
I would never know.
He's John Turturro's younger brother.
I know John Turturro.
If you saw him, you'd go, oh, I've seen that guy.
Yeah.
But that's how it is. It's fun, though. I love it. Michael Jackson's son comes in, which I could care less about. But, but the kids seem to care about that. That's Blanket
My
Jackson.
My favorite was, though, when I met Charlize Theron, because we were helping our kids get onto the school bus to go to camp.
So good.
And she comes running up and she's like, do you guys know where the bus picks up? And I was like, oh, yeah, it picks up right here, Charlize Theron.
Yeah, it's I know.
Right here on the corner.
Yeah.
Hey, we're both moms and our kids are going to camp. We should hang out.
Yeah, like Amy Brenneman was a mom at our school. Colin Farrell was a dad at the school. But like Amy Brenneman would be like, oh, hi, I'm Amy. And it's like, I fucking know who you are. But again, if they acted any different than that, you'd think they sucked.
It's true.
So they have to do that.
Yeah.
My
I have to tell you their name. You're like, I know what your name is.
My friend Chip Chinnery, his wife used to work, not his wife, his girlfriend of 20 years. Mm-hmm. They're not married though. But his girlfriend used to be a writer on Chelsea Handler show. So they would be invited to Chelsea Handler's for all the parties, Super Bowl party, anything. And Charlize Theron would be there and Jennifer Aniston would be there. And he's like, I'm in the kitchen. And Jennifer Aniston says, hey, I'm Jen. Who are you? And he's like, Chip Chinnery, I know who you are. You know, he's just like, yeah, I know who you are.
I actually kind of hate meeting celebrities because it makes you feel weird. It makes you feel weird. Like you're supposed to not acknowledge the fact that you know who they are, but you do. But then you're aware of the fact that you're acting like you don't know who they are. But then you're aware of the fact that you're aware of the fact that you're acting.
And like you can't say, I know who you are. We watched every episode of Friends every Thursday night. We know who you are. Yeah. But how else are you going to do it? Like Martin Short got on the plane and he's in first class. He's in the first seat in first class.
Yeah.
So now the whole, and I was in boarding group A.
Yes.
So every single person that walks through.
That's him.
They see him.
This is what is always weird to me about first class is if you're a famous person and you're trying to like play like cool.
Yeah.
Why do they stick you on that plane first to make everybody walk right past you? It's so weird.
Should be in last.
Put you in last so you can have a little anonymity. I was on a flight to Toronto with William Shatner, and the whole time I was just like, that's William Shatner. There he is.
He's right there. I think in my head, I'm like, how great would it be if he just sat there in the first seat and just said hi to everyone as they walked on?
He's not going
to
do that.
How you doing?
And you could tell he was kind of embarrassed and annoyed because they'd put him on first. Mm-hmm. So every single person walked by and stared at him, and you could tell he was like, why do they make me sit down first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what if he would have said hello to everyone?
Because he just wants to go to Toronto like everybody else.
Right. Like Martin Short had his sunglasses on, phone out, head down, did not want to be
talked to. Because he wants just to have a minute to himself, you know?
Yeah.
I get it.
And looked, and I would have never said, and I'm a gigantic fan. Like, I don't know who it would have had to be to where I would have said, fuck it. I'm going to just say hello. I don't know who it would be.
I don't know.
You know what? I think if it was Michael Keaton.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's from Pittsburgh and I'm from Pennsylvania. So that would have been, and he was my favorite always in when I was in high school. He was my favorite. But, you know, Martin Short's way up there, but
I know.
He just gave the vibe of please don't.
Please don't talk to me. I get it. You want to be left alone.
Of course you get it. You're famous. You're an author.
Yeah, I hate it when people
talked about it. We talked about it earlier. All right, your next one's a classic.
What is it?
It's by Louis Armstrong.
Oh, yes, it is.
Just saying his name, people know what the song is.
You know what the song
is.
And I picked it because it's about world, but it's actually perfect for this.
What a Wonderful World.
Yeah.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue. For me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Now, I picked the exact same song, but by a different artist.
Okay.
So I'm going to jump right into it. This is Joey Ramone.
I know this. Okay.
What's weird about this is the original is 2 minutes and 19 seconds long.
Yeah.
And so you would think this version would be like a minute long. It's 2 minutes and 23 seconds long. So literally the same time.
Yeah. He just did it at a different tempo.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Do you celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas?
We do everything. Yes.
You do it all.
Yes,
we do. We do it all too. The kids get Hanukkah stuff.
They sure do.
And Christmas stuff.
Yes. They're very spoiled children. Yeah. Now, in fairness, they get tchotchkes for 7 days.
Yes.
And then they get one real present.
Okay. So, but that's cool because Christmas, they're going to get some stuff.
They get Christmas presents, but my husband's Catholic and I'm Jewish. So I'm always like, honey, you know, you do Christmas, I'll get the tchotchkes and then I'll get them one big thing for Hanukkah.
All right.
Yeah. But then I get them Hanukkah. I get them Christmas stuff too.
Does he wrap the Christmas stuff then?
We do everything together.
You do everything together.
It's a big wrapping party.
We watch a movie and Pilar's on the couch and I wrap the presents. Because I kind of like to.
I like it. I've gotten into Christmas. Because when I first married a Catholic guy, I was like, oh God, I don't know if I can do this. And I was like, you know what? This is so fun. I love this. I love the tree.
You get a real tree or you have an artificial tree?
We get a real tree from Home Depot, like a good Christian family.
those are also inexpensive in Los Angeles.
Okay, they're great. And we decorate it and we do hot cocoa and...
The whole deal.
We do the whole thing. I'm like, this is an adorable holiday.
And if it's not dry December, you put a little Bailey's in that hot chocolate.
I'm not dry till January, so the Bailey's goes in.
Are you going to do that again this January?
I think I will. I think it's a nice tradition.
Yeah, why not?
You know, it's a little bit like...
Reset.
Reset, guys. Have some tea and go for a walk and touch grass.
When you finally put, because this is at our house, when we finally, because we're both buying stuff and then we really don't know what we have until we wrap it.
Yeah.
And then we step back and we go, this is too much.
Oh, see, that's my biggest fear though, is that it will either be not enough or too much. And then, so we get a lot of just stuff.
Yeah. And then Pilar's like, maybe we should hold some stuff back. I'm like, what, until October when their birthdays come around?
No.
We just have to put it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we made the mistake a couple, and look, the kids are older. Right now they're 20 and 24. This was just a few years ago. The gift amount spent on each child was the same, but the number of presents was different.
Yeah.
And the person who had less things to open was sad.
I've had that experience
and it's
too.
Like, yeah, but we spent the same money. Like, I don't even want to have that conversation Christmas morning. Like, I don't want to have to say, we spent the same money on you.
Our problem is like
I want them to just be happy.
No, but it's hard because Luna 2 will just rip her presents open. It's all damn stuff. So she'll wake up and rip her presents open in like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And like Levon takes his time.
Yeah.
So for the next half hour, he's opening presents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love this and thank you so much, Mom. This is so great and playing with it and everything. And she's just sort of sitting there. And I'm like, well, you had presents. You just chose to open them really quickly.
Tore through them. We tried to like one at a time.
I know.
Last Christmas, I had COVID. So we were all separated. So we did Zoom Christmas.
Oh, no.
And so that's what we did.
I know.
And I don't think Pilar had anything to open because I was supposed to bring her gifts to Pennsylvania when I came to...
It was hard. So the script that I had in development this year is called A Jewish Girl's Guide to Christmas.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's inspired by me learning how to do Christmas when I married my husband. And it's really funny. And it was set up, and I don't think it is anymore. But it's about like a Jewish woman who has a goyish boyfriend, and she's just trying to figure out like, how do you do the present thing? Like, how much do you spend? What do you get for people? What if you get the wrong gift? And so she's asking all of her goyish friends, like, how do I do this? And they're all like, oh, we don't know either. Like, we're all just guessing.
Pilar and I were going to wrote like a treatment once for a movie. There's a place called Candy Cane Lane here in Woodland Hills.
Yes, there is.
And we had crisis on Candy Cane Lane when a Jewish family moves in and doesn't want to participate.
Oh my gosh.
In decorating their house for Christmas.
Oh, make us the bad guys. I love it. You know those Jewish people? We won't even put up a light.
Yeah, damn it. Not even a white and blue string. Something. Give it to us.
The best decorated house on my street, I think, they're Jewish because it's all white and blue, but it's like gorgeously done.
Classy.
Yeah, I don't do that.
No.
I don't know how to hang lights. I'm very busy. I'm writing books.
Then the Catholics have like a big blow up Grinch on their roof.
There's a lot of blow up Grinches. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The book is Everworld. When's it out?
December 17th. You can pre-order right now.
I'm trying to think when this episode will drop. Either way, this will drop before the holidays.
This is important. We're doing a giveaway on Goodreads. So glad I remember to say this. December 3rd, it starts. It's a month long and it's a giveaway and you get a free copy of Everworld. If you either go to my Instagram, which is Rebecca Phelps Writer, or you can go to Goodreads and just look up my author page, Rebecca Phelps, Downworld, Everworld, Yesterworld. That's me. There's a few Rebecca Phelpses, so find the right one.
And again, the book drops
December 17th.
Perfect. Because
on a Tuesday.
This episode drops December 12th on
perfect.
A Thursday.
Perfect.
So if you're listening right now, go pre-order.
You can pre-order, and if you listen to it right now, you can get into the Goodreads giveaway.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. And yeah, that'll be episode 806 for me.
Wow.
That's stupid, right?
You have been doing this a while.
I'm eyeing 1,000. Pilar said the same thing. She's eyeing 1,000 episodes too.
Because how many is she on? with her podcast.
She is
her
about
amazing
100,
podcast. Her amazing podcast. On the Page, by the way.
She's about 100 episodes ahead of me, I believe. Okay. I think she's about 906 or 7.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's wild.
Her podcast is great.
Thank you.
Yeah, you both are. You're killing the podcast.
Well, you are lovely. I've never written a book, so I barely write a letter. Let's hear your last song. We'll promote just a little bit more, and then we'll play the playout song that was picked by Mr. Stephen Phelps.
Yes, it was.
This is a song from Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to talk about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. So when I was writing this book, she had just dropped, I think, like Evermore or Ever...
Folklore.
But the other one. Ever.
This song is from Folklore.
This is from Folklore. Okay. So I was listening to it a lot, as we all were during COVID.
It's really
and
good.
This particular song just kills me. And it really summed up the vibe of what the character is going through in this book.
And it's Epiphany. Here we go. And here we go. Is Luna into Taylor Swift?
Only the rock ones.
Okay.
The Reputation.
Okay.
She has no use for slow music.
I just took it from the top.
Yeah.
Bothers me when someone will tell me, well, you know, Taylor Swift doesn't write her own songs.
And it drives me crazy.
And I'm like, you know that she does.
And what's funny is you'll hear a lot of people say that they don't understand why she's so famous because she's, you know, not that great of a songwriter. And then you realize the only song of hers they've ever heard is like Shake It Off.
Shake It Off or some.
Which is fine. It's a fun song.
It's fine, which is a great pop song.
It's a fun pop song. But you're like, what are you talking about? Then you realize like, oh, you've never heard
anything.
The thousand songs that she's written that are some of the most gorgeous poetry I've ever read in my life. So that's why you don't know.
Yeah, like so many of her albums come out and they have like 16 songs. And usually I say, that's too many songs on an album. It should be about 10 or 11.
The last one is 35.
Yeah, and then you're like, well, there's a lot of good stuff here.
I know.
So
I know.
Yeah, so shut up, people.
You can see why the Swifties get mad though, because they're like, have you ever listened to any of her music?
I know, right?
Yeah. That song is about, I think, her mom's battle with cancer. And very personal, obviously, song for her. But it for me, hearing it when I was writing the book, and it was about her losing the boyfriend and losing the great war, really, of trying to make humanity something worth saving.
Yeah.
It was just devastating.
Some of the songs are devastating.
Yeah.
There's a little girl that comes into the store, and I call her a little girl because she's a little girl, but she might be, she could be 9, she could be 12. She's in there, but she had Taylor Swift shirt on one day, and I'm like, oh, Taylor Swift, I'm a Swiftie. She's like, no, you're not. I go, yeah. And this was when I was still in my 50s. So I told her, I go, I'm 50 for Swiftie.
Yeah.
And she's like, and then she just grilling me.
Yes.
What's your favorite album? I'm like, Red. I saw the Red tour. What's your favorite song? I love Holy Ground. She's like, do you know this? I'm like, yeah. And then we got to one and she's like, what about Reputation? I go, I got to be honest. I didn't really get into that album that much, but I'm starting to now. And but she would just hammer me.
Okay.
But now when she comes into the store, she like comes right over to me. Hey, like she doesn't know my name. I don't know her name, but she'll just say, hey.
She knows you're a Swiftie.
And I'll say, there's my Swiftie. But just crazy. One more question.
Yeah.
Did you say your agent is it a woman?
It is a woman.
Did you purposely want a female agent because you felt that she might work harder for you?
I have terrible news. That's not how it works.
That stinks.
You get any agent.
You get what you get and you don't get
and
upset.
And I actually didn't get my agent because of my 3-book deal. Okay. When I was querying a different adult contemporary novel, and I had a 3-book deal, a TV show in development, a film in development, and I'd won an award, and I couldn't get an agent to even write me back. I couldn't get them to even look at my work. And then I got this wonderful agent who had put out several really great books and repped a lot of great authors. And she really fell in love with that particular book, which she has yet to sell.
All right.
But that was why she said it had nothing to do with Downworld.
All right.
You have to constantly start all over.
Just a question I wanted to know.
I know. Now there are a lot of female agents, but you really have no control over that.
You have no control. All right. One more time. The book is called Everworld. It comes out December 17th. That's a Tuesday. You can pre-order it now. There's going to be a giveaway, and you're going to go to Rebecca's Instagram, which is at
Rebecca Phelps Writer.
And do you want to spell that?
Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A.
Yeah.
P-H-E-L-P-S, like Michael Phelps, mm-hmm. No relation. Writer. Like I write things.
Yeah. So you should know how to spell that. Are you active on the Instagram?
I am. No, I am posting, especially now that the book's coming out. I'm posting adorable. I hate the internet, but I am really trying.
Oh, I like the one though where you like pointed up in the air and three books appeared. That was cool.
It was fun and it was short.
Like, I don't even know how you do that. How do you even do that? Like
magic.
That looked like a magic trick.
It's secret to Instagram is that you can actually very easily edit an Instagram and add pictures and stuff.
Yeah. I add music to my posts, but I don't get in that deep on it.
I had to teach myself how to do it in TikTok and in Instagram because I have to promote the books.
And do the kids have phones?
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah. But I got to say, they're not as addicted because they're so busy with their extracurriculars. Like, Yvonne's doing taekwondo and gym and gymnastics and coding. And he's not as addicted. I know some of the kids live on these phones.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have them. It was for me. I got them for my peace of mind.
So
I know where they're at.
Yeah.
I can stalk them on
Life 360. Life 360. You can see if their phone's charged.
That's literally all it is. Because Luna's gone sometimes for 7 hours at dance. I just want to know if she's at 7-Eleven getting a snack.
Yeah.
You know?
Rita's in Brooklyn. And when I pick up that and I just look at Life 360 and I see that her phone's at 10%.
Yes.
And she's not in her apartment.
Yes.
And she's not at work. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Go charge
your
phone. What are you doing? What if you on the way home? What if your phone dies?
Yes.
What will you do?
What if you need to get a Lyft or something?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's, and she just doesn't listen.
No.
I even got her the case that you can put the charger onto, and I got her the charger, and she doesn't charge that up.
They're always dead. Oh, and actually, Stefan's phone is always dead. I'm always stalking him on Life 360. I'm like, his phone's gonna die.
My phone is plugged. It's charging right now when we're up here. Whenever. It's not in my hand.
It's charging. Yeah, I do that a lot too. And that way I know where it is too. I can go.
We're the best people in our family. Can we just say that?
Yeah, we win.
We're the best people in our family.
We win.
All right. With that, Rebecca, thank you so much. Congratulations on the success of Downworld and Yesterworld and the new Everworld, which if you haven't read the other two, I've been told you can jump right into this one and you'll be perfectly fine.
It's true. Or you can buy all three or you can get all three from the library. Don't forget about the library.
Go to the library. But also put some money in someone's pocket.
Well, there's that too. And your library might not have it in stock. So there you go.
How dare they?
I know.
Why wouldn't they?
They don't have a lot of books in stock. But if you ask for it, they'll get it for you.
Can you donate books to a library or do they not want that?
They don't want you to donate a book that they weren't otherwise carrying, no.
All right. You know what I do sometimes? Like, we have nice books, but if we're not, I'll just go put them in the library book drop.
Yeah. They won't do it. They'll throw it out. Yeah.
They'll throw it out?
Unless it's something that they wanted. Yeah, because they just can't stock every single
book. Okay, I'll stop doing that.
I know,
I'll take them to Goodwill.
Yeah, or stick them in one of those, give a book, take a book. You know, one of those little things.
Yeah, you're right.
I know.
All right. With that, thank you, Rebecca, for doing this.
Thank you, Pat.
And this song was requested by Stefan Phelps. It's from Rage Against the Machine from the album Renegades. This is a cover of a song I love by Devo called Beautiful World. We are at Rock Solid Show on Twitter and Instagram. And you can support the show through Patreon at patreon.com/Rock Solid Podcast. Here we go, Rage Against the Machine. Thanks again, Rebecca.
romantic place. Beautiful people everywhere. The way they show their care makes me want to say it's a beautiful world. Oh, a beautiful world for you. It's a wonderful time to be here. It's nice to be alive. Wonderful people everywhere. The way they comb their hair makes me want to say it's a wonderful place.
We're just winging it today. I don't have any questions written down. Just talking.
Okay. I can do that.
All right. Let me start.